It's time for Geocache Talk. Whether you are at work, in the car, or wherever you are, we hope you enjoy this show about the great sport of geocaching. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can be part of the adventure tonight in the chat room and participate with others as they watch the show. If you are listening later, please give it a like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app so that you can get all of the weekly Geocache Talk goodness. If you have not become a patron of the Geocache Talk Network, what are you waiting for? Patron levels start as low as a bison tube level at $3 a month. The sign up is easy. Simply go to the Geocache Talk website and click on the Become a Patron button or go to patreon.com/geocachetalk. Patrons now get the famous blackout coin, invites to special events, and other really great items throughout the year. Become a patron today. Have you subscribed to FTF Magazine yet? FTF Magazine is the number one geocaching magazine available. It is a quarterly magazine that you can be part of. Submit your geocaching milestones and adventures to be published. FTF Magazine is also interactive with puzzles to solve and the hunt to find Spartacus. If you can solve the puzzle or find Spartacus, then you will be entered in to win a special pack tag. Every new subscription, you will receive a special swag pack. Subscribing is easy. Just visit FTF's website, ftfgeo.com. Don't miss out and subscribe today.
Logwork, the creators of the fantastic logbook, made with genuine write-in-the-rain paper, the logbook's designed for the micro-containers of the present and future, geared towards the hider who'd rather go caching than doing cache maintenance. Find them at logwork.com, that's logwerk.com.
All right, here we go. Big thanks to Derek, Baker Six Clan, for the graphics, and our new patrons. Thunderstruck. I saw him in the chat room. Rosebud 55112. Returning patron DE Cryptoman and Juanita. Our featured patrons this week. The Eyes Have It. So we are going to feature the Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana patrons. So, and they are start with Iowa, Geo Tribe 5. Crime Fighter 89, Burnt Turtles, Hailmeister is in Illinois. Now we're into the Illinois. Deuteronomy 31.8, Direwolf 821, and we have an Indiana, Michael Rozier. Thank you to all our patrons for keeping this show on the air. And with us tonight is my longtime co-host, Memphis Mafia.
Made it back just in time. I've been back home off the road for about an hour now.
Right. So on your long travel this week. This week.
I'm sure there's many people. I suspect we'll have a lot of people that are listening to audio this week because it's Easter weekend and there's a lot of people on the road out there traveling to get back home before tomorrow.
Yep.
The highways were full. They were full both ways, people traveling. And unfortunately, crashes and everything else. So
yikes.
If y'all are out there listening live and you're on the highway, stop. Listen later and be safe. We want you to always listen, but just be safe. We went by a lot of crashes on the way home today. None of them looked too bad, but there was definitely several on the way home, you know. Yes, good with your family, but make sure you make it back to home as well.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, we featured Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, but, you know, thanks to everyone else, all of our patrons, you know, we got Washington, Vermont, all of our listeners and viewers, you know, we have a lot of both. We've talked about, just how I talked about before is we've got people who've never seen the show.
Oh yeah. Well, we talked about it before, but I'm almost 99%. Exclusive audio listener, me personally.
Yeah.
On all the podcasts I listen to. I don't ever have time in front of a screen, but I have a lot of car time usually. So and I try to save them all for the car so I have something for the car to listen to.
Absolutely.
It's weird, especially listen to our other shows because it's just weird because you know all the people and you don't see them. So it's weird. But everybody consumes in a different way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a podcast that I binged when I found it, and I've listened to every episode, and they stopped.
Oh, I know, I know.
And I'm like, oh my God. I actually emailed them. I said, are y'all really done? Is the show over? I mean, I put in there like how much I appreciated the show and all that. I wasn't just going to, you know, rag on them, but I did put toward the end, I was like, now is the show going? So
what kind of podcast was this?
What
genre was this?
Oh, nutrition.
Okay.
So
I listen to a lot of those, like cereal. I'll listen to it and then I wait and listen to another one or whatever.
Yeah.
The ones I tend to binge, and then we can get back on topic. The ones I tend to binge are the stories, the fiction. I'll binge those straight through like they're a book. And you know, there's seasons of them, and I'm just like, well, this is what I'm listening to until I'm done. So, but I hate it when they drop off somewhere, and you're like,
oh,
it's like when you're watching an old TV show and it didn't get picked up, and they leave you on a cliffhanger, and you're like, no,
yeah,
you can't do that.
There can be a bunch of those, you know, and I was thinking about, you know, there's, and they're all varying. I've listened to like, there's one that's like, the Cabinet of Curiosities. They're like 20 minutes or 15 minutes long. They're really short. And then there's the history one that I listen to. It's like 3 hours. It's like listening to an audio book.
Right.
The guy's like 3 hours is how long is one episode's like 3 hours. So it's like,
like Joe Rogan, his podcast is like 3 hours long. And Chris, you listen to some of those. I think it's a hilarious podcast. I like to pick out some of the interviews, but I would never be able to catch up. I don't have three or 4 hours every single day, and he does it every day. Like I know that's his job. It's a different type of deal, but I don't know how you catch up. There's more podcasts to listen to than time in a day.
Yep. Easy. No, absolutely.
You'd never be able to. If they stopped right now, you'd still never be able to catch up with all the podcasts out there.
Oh no. Well, even the ones, and I have you and I both have real eclectic.
Yeah.
You know, interests. So, plus I'm listening to audiobooks. So I got both going. I got audiobooks and podcasts. So.
Oh yeah, me too. Me too.
How do we have time
to even go geocaching with all this?
I know. We need to do that. We need to go geocaching sometime.
I've been on a streak. I've been doing pretty good lately. What are you talking about?
I know.
Actually, not true. Like if you look at the numbers, like from this year compared to like previous years, it looks like I've quit geocaching.
Right.
And like I'm not even geocaching anymore. But like this year, I have there's these big lofty goals that are coming to an end. But it only takes a few caches here and there.
Yeah.
Like you know, I went to go visit my daughter this weekend. It fits into what we're talking about. I probably got less than 10 caches the whole time.
But right.
I got two new counties I'd never had, in an area I've already been to, so I had to like you know step out a little bit to get them.
Yeah.
Two Jasmer caches, and that's great. And then we were walking downtown, and I take it back. We got about 15 to 20. Oh, wow. Thank you, Melanie.
Yeah, thanks, Melanie.
Too. That's awesome.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I was about to mention some people are, you know, fairly, I wouldn't say new, but they're, you know, they're some... I've noticed some new folks, not that Melanie's one, but you know, just.
No, but we definitely appreciate it. That helps, especially, you know, as we move into different phases of the year, more bills come due.
But, oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're fortunate enough that, you know, patrons and people donating keeps the lights on. We pay for
100%.
People forget. You know, we have to pay for the graphics, we pay for video, you know, we pay for StreamYard, which we use StreamYard, you know, there's a lot of little bills that come about and we're so grateful that,
your private jet. I mean, you know,
yeah, right. Yeah.
A bicycle. What are you talking about? Private jet.
Our payroll of $0 and 0 cents.
Hey, but it's gone. It's doubled every year. So.
It has. We've doubled it every year.
Yeah, every year. Yeah. A lot of I can feel people cringing when I say this, but I got like maybe four real caches, and then 20 app caches.
So, right.
All on foot though. We walked 22,000 steps, which ended up being 8.5 miles.
Wow.
Getting those just all around downtown, just sightseeing, right. Historic part of
that's cool.
Yeah, it was just crazy. We went all around.
Yeah. We'll get into a couple other things here in a moment too, because I'm I'm gonna need you to go. Yeah, I do two splurge on Natty Lights. I'll get you whatever you need, Tom. Tom needs a nice good squirrel trap right now. I think he's got a squirrel that's basically trying to eat a car one bite at a time.
Wow.
So that sucks. I forget where we're going. Let's do some news. What do you say?
That's right. How about we do that?
Let's do that. So a couple quick items, and then we'll get into our topic tonight. But I wanted to mention a couple things. One is April 20th is the deadline for the Friends of Cash Fest orders.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to approach fast. We're about to hit April. And so, at that point it's cut off. And I think that's the one to really do, because you get to create your own coin. And then they did this last year at CoinFest. I think they've done it a couple of different times, but, you create your own coin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can buy like a grouping of them, and you use them for trade, kind of like they do the cards, going cashing, mm-hmm. cards, where people buy extras of those and then they trade them to get the full set,
which is fun.
So pretty sweet deal. That's a cool deal. And then May 12th is going to be the deadline for package orders, because people always ask, some folks ask, why do we stop it so early?
Right.
May 12th, the events, the first week of July, and it takes time. we have to give them a total of how many coins we want them to make. And it takes 6 weeks, at least.
And that's close as it is.
Yeah, that's cutting it tight. I would prefer it a little later, but I work with a full team. So they feel like that's
close. They know what they're doing.
Yep, they're professionals. Another quick note is Cash Masters game I created, strategic card game for 2 to 6, 6, 8. I need somebody to play it with a lot of people and tell me how it goes so I can get a – I've done it with 4, so I need people to play it with 5 through 8 and tell me if there's a breaking point where there's just too many people playing.
Right.
And yes, it will destroy your geocaching friendships, but in a good way. And I'll give you the link to that here in a moment. But I wanted to show some of the cards for Cash Masters and kind of explain why, because I've had people ask me, like, what do you mean it's going to destroy friendships? And it's like, well, you have containers like the Sammo can, which we're going to talk about tonight, which is a really good container. We're going to talk about bad containers, but. And you have to get a logbook and a pen to complete the container, and then which makes a cache, and then you get to collect it, and you get 5 points. Got the little big 5 point at the top, plus the logbook and pen are worth a point apiece. Yeah, game night. Yeah, we need to do that.
We're doing that, I'm sure.
You can be an FTF hound. It allows for 2 additional actions during the action phase, and that's when it gets critical, because if you have a logbook and your pen, you can't play them both at the same time. You play it, and you're playing it into the middle of the table.
Right.
And so there's a risk, because everybody's trying to finish it, but everybody's trying to finish the same ones. So
right. There's
a risk. Yeah. And then there's chaotic cards. There's a chaos card. Everyone passes their hand to the left. So that's where the destruction of the friendships, because it's still good fun, but there is some.
Do you have an armchair logging card?
I need to have supplemental deck.
Yeah.
But there's some chaos. There's different chaos cards that are in it. So it kind of makes it more of a party game. So, yeah. But so reason I mention is tonight, if you use the code Hailmeister, you'll get 10% off your order. And that code is only valid. Well, it's been valid all month, but the month is ending. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So, you probably, if you're going to
leapfrog card, don't forget that one there too.
The leapfrog card. There you go. So if you go to slinkgames.etsy.com, you can purchase, the card game, and the discount works for, you know, I had somebody who bought three decks because they wanted to give them away for prizes for prizes for events, that kind of thing. So anyway, yeah, so there you go. So there's the spiel for that. Okay, next up on the list is tonight. In a little bit, we're going to talk about the madness. We're going to fit that part in tonight. So we're down to round three, I think. We're going to talk about who has moved on. So that'll be a lot of fun to talk about where we're at. And let's see who's still alive in the tournament. I don't know if you've, is your bracket busted, Jesse, in the
March Madness bracket? I'm doing bad. Yeah. I was doing good. And I don't want to get off track, but
I'm kind of with you.
We were kind of listening to games today. So obviously both, you know, this whole week, last week, we've been watching all the games. Today we were in the car for some of the games and they did not go how we wanted them.
Yeah.
Listening to it. Luckily you can stream stuff nowadays and listen to all the games and
it
did not go well. This poll has got to go better. This tournament's got to go better than the other one for me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll get into it here in a second. But one of my sons is like 99.9%. He's like in the top 4,000 in the ESPN.
Oh wow!
Thing, and that's like 22.6 million brackets, and he's in the top 4,000. So that's pretty good.
That is good. Yeah.
I think he's only missed, well, he's 99.9. He was, I don't know about today, but that was before this next round. So
mine is not. So
I was okay. I was like I was in 2 million. I was in not great, but 2 million out of 22 million, I think is, it's okay, I guess.
But I usually pick mine based on who I want to win, not who I actually think is going to win.
Yeah.
I don't care about all that. There's certain teams I just want to win. I'm not going to bet against them. So
yeah, I hear you.
But I have no stake in it, right? It's just family. There's two of them that I'm in. One's a direct family, one's a group of friends, and that's all we do.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with the funny thing is I want to start with the ones that were in the geocaching forum because I find that it needs to be updated. Yes. Tell me, Jesse, if you think that this list is a little outdated. So they start out with tobacco cans. Have you ever found a cache in a skull or?
Yeah, I sure have.
Have you really?
I have indeed. It's horrible. It's a stupid idea. The container itself is terrible.
It's cardboard, isn't it?
Much less what was in it beforehand, right? Like,
right, exactly.
I think it goes without saying, we can talk about it, but it goes without saying that there should be no food. No strong flavors, no smells, and you're gonna put these out in public because bugs, animals, everything else, you know, that's dumb and gross. I mean, we shouldn't even have to do that. We're talking about containers, not just the stupid parts that go with it.
Yeah,
but the container's not made for being waterproof. I mean, it's just not.
No,
and to hold up to the elements and everything else.
No, that's ridiculous.
So yeah, that's one of the dumbest ones. But
there's some dumb ones. Listen to the next. There's some of these in here I've found. I don't know if ice cream pail.
Yeah, like a plastic container, like you get the big. Oh, I've seen that too. Like big gallon. Think about the gallon of ice cream. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, with the little plastic handle on the top that's real flimsy. Yes. Yeah. I have seen that as well, and that's dumb.
It is.
Like, it's not.
It's better than the cardboard thing, but not.
Well, if it was a cardboard one, yeah, that'd be pretty bad, but
not much better. Because they just don't last.
No, it's not. No, that's and you know, there's one thing. Okay, before we go, I don't want to berate people that are brand new to the game, right? If you're brand new to the game and you put out something like this, it's just because inexperience and you haven't done the things like we tell everybody to do. One, talk to somebody else before you go hiding anything, even if you have experience, because we all get tunnel vision, right? Like when you get focused on a project, you're like, I got to get this out. It's going to be awesome. Everybody's going to love it. You're thinking about it and you get tunnel vision on that cash and you're not thinking straight, either whether it's location or container. All of us, you and I have both hidden tons of caches. There's people that have hidden more, but we've hidden a lot, right? You still need to beta test it. Get somebody to look at it, to check it before you go live with it. It's just, unless you're just buying something from HQ and, you know, sticking a little blinky on something, that's pretty simple. But even still, the location can be bad. But if you're putting a container that's not a commercially produced container that you bought like from HQ or Landsharks or one of the, you know, those companies.
You
need to have somebody look at it. Or, you know, and there used to be a YouTube video a long time ago. I don't even know who did it now. I can't even remember. Mm-hmm. But they were saying, take your container and put it in the water. Put it in tub of water.
Right.
If the stuff in there does not dry when you pull it back out, don't use that as a container.
Don't use it.
Yeah. It's just you. Having said that, people that are brand new, let's say they don't even know to beta test it or whatever, they're going to make simple mistakes like this. But I have found these containers from experienced cachers.
Yes.
No. Now, I did find one time that was like a plastic baggie, like a zip, not even like the high dollar zip. Like, that was it. That was the whole container.
That was the container. Yeah, I know. And I thought,
okay, somebody replaced it or the container got broken. No, they put it there like that.
It's like no. No. Yeah, that's on the list.
It was like a brand new person. They didn't know what they were doing. So you got to learn from it. Hopefully some people didn't just chastise them. You know, they said, hey, dude, this is not going to work. But if you've been around for a little while, you got to think through some of these containers we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, so some of them that fall in that category, Jesse, that are the cheap plastic that won't last. And so in that grouping,
it
would be like a margarine or butter container.
First of all, food. Second of all, terrible containers not made to be out in the wild.
No. A plastic coffee container. I'll be honest, I did one of those one time. I will admit, but never again. I thought you just don't. I mean, and now I had been caching for a little while, but I painted up green. It was a Hulk cache. I thought this would be great.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. I do not know what I was thinking because
how long does it last?
Yeah, no, oh, a month at the most. It was cracked. You know, I went back out there. I'm like, oh my god, this. It's like I felt bad because like this thing is junk.
Well, so, again, it's that tunnel vision, right?
Yeah.
You see something, you just think, oh, this will be neat. People love this. And you're not thinking rationally about it because it's your own project. That's why you always got to have somebody check it or talk to somebody about it.
Oh, absolutely. And you forget how brutal the outdoors is.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into some of those here in a minute. But the things that still, and again, plastic bag, plastic bottles.
Yeah.
Those all kind of fill those were all listed in the geocaching forum that I found on some of these things. Now we've got some that are sort of, I think would be controversial that you and I might not agree on that we're going to get into now. I've had mixed experience and go ahead. You found one.
Yeah. So before we hit those, we're not even going to get into this tonight, but Jen. Exactly right. Jen's people need to label containers, things like that. Yeah, because you get into some areas and there's trash around. It looks just like the cash container.
Oh, my God, yes.
Now, that's kind of off topic what we're going to get to tonight, but we do need to talk about that at some point. But labeling a container is a good idea. It doesn't ruin the camouflage or anything else. You can put a little thing on there that just says geocache before somebody sticker. Picks something up, kids or whatever, and go, yeah, that's it. I know it's going to be it. You know, because I have absolutely picked up trash near a cache before thinking it was a container.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh man, come on.
So Disgruntled Wheat says, going to disagree. It might be simple to order direct from Geocache Supply Components in the US, but here in Canada.
So you can, yeah, I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm saying if you order one directly from them, it's already an approved container, you know it's going to be good to go.
Wherever it might be.
I'm not saying only do that or don't do that. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because, I mean, those can be expensive. But if it comes from HQ, you know it's going to be already tested out pretty good. Or if it comes from Landsharks or, you know, any of the place that have the – you know it's going to be tested ahead of time. So I'm not saying you have to do that. And, you know, so to be sure, I'm not saying only do that at all. First of all,
no.
I don't hardly ever order containers from there other than, like, Blinkies, right? Because it's hard to recreate. Yeah. But
We'll mention a few of those that are good. We're mostly talking about bad ones tonight, but so Landsharks is Canadian. IB Geocaching, if you need a resource, they both have good containers. They have good swag, both Canada. So you're shipping inside the country. So you know those are really good. So Lauren.
Yes.
Not a geocache. It unfortunately doesn't work like that. But
that's what CETOs are for.
That's what CETOs are for. Oh my gosh. One day we'll do a CETO show and talk about all the crazy things we found during a CETO.
Oh gosh.
I mean, oh my. Oh my. Okay, so other containers that are bad. And this is one that I wanted to talk about because I think Jen mentioned it. It's one that she hates, and I have, I want to get your opinion on it. And I have one here, it's not ready, and I'll explain why it's not ready to be used, but it's an Altoid tin.
Yeah. Altoid. I'll say, that right there should not be a geocache. That as it is right now should not be a
geocache. As it is, no.
Because that is going to become a rusty razor blade of death at some point. That's going to get nasty. Oh, it's going to cut your hands. It's automatic tetanus shot.
Here's what I do. Let me get your opinion on a treated Altoid.
Now that's different.
I take a good quality Rust-Oleum,
mm-hmm.
and I will cover this thing fully. Every nook and cranny is going to be covered in Rust-Oleum. And I've put them out like that. And
that solves one problem, though. That only solves one of the two problems.
True.
It's still not waterproof.
No, it's not waterproof.
So you have to do something additional to make it waterproof. Or you're just going to have a wet baggie.
Yeah. If you use a plastic baggie, you're just going to...
Which don't close.
Right. Which means that when the water gets in... It seals the water into the baggie.
So in most situations, those Altoids are going to end up being wet logs or rusty things.
Yeah.
Unless you do a lot of preparation for them, or you're in an area that's, you know, super dry area, or the container's in an area where it's not going to be, you know, off the ground enough.
Rust-Oleum does scratch off.
Not waterproof either.
No, rusty razor blade of death is hashtag. Yeah, it's not the best. As you can tell, I haven't used it, so it's still sitting here. Now,
it can be prepped up right, and I'm assuming you could put some, you know, some silicone around it or whatever to stop it from leaking so much. But a lot of times they just throw them in there, and either the paint gets scratched off or it just starts rusting, and then you're dealing with a rusty, scratchy. Yep.
Part of it too is if you find a spot where you can put it, I put a magnet on this one, but you can put it up underneath something. Sometimes that can be.
And there's a good chance that it won't get wet. That's great. You know,
but yeah.
There's a really specifically fit the. They're not automatically waterproof.
No, they're not. They're not waterproof at all. So that's a bad. Obviously, I haven't put it out, so you can tell I've. How about one of these guys? You seen one of these guys?
I've never seen that. I've seen other versions of plastic food containers,
similar. Like yeah.
Remember the M&Ms that used to come in a tube or whatever? I've
still
seen
smell
those.
It, so. Yeah. But they're clever. They're clever, but they don't. And they probably close pretty well. Again, now here's the thing. Let me get your opinion on this. What's that?
That's trash.
It's trash.
Well, that's not a container, but go ahead.
Let me give you a scenario though.
Okay.
Let's say I have a birdhouse cache.
Uh-huh.
And I want to separate the swag from the logbook, for example. And so it's a birdhouse. It's solid wood with it's caulked. It's sealed. It's not going to get anything in it. And you were to use something like this inside the.
First of all, why would you go build a birdhouse and then put trash in it? Now, having said that, like a clear non-waterproof container inside a waterproof container, like a like an ammo can or like a birdhouse or whatever. If that is, because a birdhouse is usually not waterproof either, unless you make it that way. That makes sense because it's inside a waterproof container. You can use a little cheap, and I've seen those a lot of times. I use a little cheap Tupperware things inside those and stack them up like, you know, ingoing trackables, outgoing trackables, stuff like that, and swag and then logbook. That's fine because your overall container's waterproof. But if it's not, and then first of all, can you even take the label off that thing? Or is it printed on the container?
You can. It'll come off.
I mean, it's trash if it has a food label on it.
I agree.
I don't care if the thing was waterproof, you know. That's trash unless you're making it an actual container.
Yep. So that's another one I found in my pile in my container pile. How about one of these?
Ugh.
And if you spin around, if you take the lid, spin it around, and you can put it on this direction.
Uh-huh.
It does keep it more. I won't say it's 100%, but if you turn around and twist it on, it does make it.
So here's what, So can that be used as a geocache container? Yes, it's done all the time, right?
Yeah.
However, if you just see that, it looks like trash.
Sure.
Like there's no label on it. There's no sticker on it.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
It looks like trash on the ground because, unfortunately, if you live anywhere near a city, you're going to see those that aren't geocaches. They're around in the ground. You know what I mean? It's medicine. That I've seen ones that I found that people put down that still have the label of the medicine on it.
Oh my gosh, that's not good.
First of all, that's way too much information you're putting out there, people. I don't need to know about your weird foot issues. I don't need to know that. You know, you can take that container and not make it look like trash. It's easy to print a little label and put it on there like this is geocache number so-and-so or, you know, some kind of theme on it. I've used those before, and I had a themed set of where I goes, but I needed to hide them in a really small location. I used those.
Right.
And I put like a label on there with the theme, you know, that was on the webpage and everything else, a little character or whatever.
Sure.
That was pretty good. It didn't look like trash. Anybody saw that, they wouldn't think, oh, this is trash. They'd think this is some kind of container. You know, it says it on there.
Yeah.
But that alone, it can be used as a cache container. But are you really going to be proud of that?
No.
Is it really you're going to be proud of that? You know, when you throw it under a bush and think you've really hidden something well? I don't think so.
No. Yeah. And if you cover it in camo tape, just FYI for those that think, oh, just cover in camo tape. Again, 1 month in, the tape's coming off. It's not going to stay on. It's going to weather. It's going to be. We've all found the pill bottle that's, you know, bare. The camo tape is barely hanging on by one or two threads. You know, it's just not going to work.
Well, and camo tape just goes. It's usually the last one I found, which was this week,
right
on the container, and the camo tape on the ground next to it.
Yeah.
It had come all the way off and it was just trash again.
Right.
Now, having said that, I don't like the camo tape anyway because it usually doesn't last very long in most environments.
No.
There's a couple comments there too. Like, clear container is not a bad idea. No, clear container is not a bad idea. What's even better is mark it as geocache. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mark
it. It's like paper inside. It could look like drugs or whatever else that people, you know. But if you mark it clearly as a geocache, like, hey, this is a game piece, you know. HQ's got those things that you can just print out and put them on there. That's even better. Most bombs are not going to be that effective if they're in an open container. So we don't have to worry about being a real bomb. But whatever. Right. I know they call them weird stuff.
Make a PVC pipe one.
Oh, God. Yeah, we've been through those stories already. But, you know, like Drusilla mentioned, she's trying to keep one. She's trying to keep a cache going that goes missing a lot. So she'll put temporary containers out there a lot.
Yeah, just temporary.
That works, right?
Yeah.
But if you put that as a permanent container, and Tom mentioned LPCs. LPC, we've seen some very cool LPCs. like Legoland built up under it and stuff like that. Yeah. Now, if you're talking a dime a dozen LPCs or Power Trail, it's acceptable. Yep. It's totally acceptable, right? It's not going to be something you're proud of, but it's an acceptable container that works.
Yep.
You know, I would rather see other things, but if you're going to put it out there, mark it, maybe, you know?
Absolutely. I have another one for you that this one, if Charles was on tonight, this would drive him insane. And that is, Brad, you are correct. They seem to be a thicker quality, like thicker plastic.
Yeah, they're usually the ones I had anyway. I think they're white, right? And then have the top.
Yeah.
Those are like, yeah. I don't know that they're waterproof. They may be.
These are pretty thin.
If you're keeping them inside the house.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll hold up in the elements over time. The ones I've never come across one that's broken. The ones I've seen are in pretty good shape. Now,
yep.
I haven't tested them extensively or whatever, but they do seem to be of higher quality sometimes. Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So this one I'm going to show you is one that drives Charles up the wall.
Oh, gosh.
It probably drives you up the wall too. So the blood vial. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, yeah, so before I get into the negative part of that, I will say, all right, so if we're talking about bag containers, and I know it shouldn't be different for anywhere, right? But those little ampule containers and
hate
LPCs and stuff like that, when you're talking about a big, I'm separating this out, big Power Trail.
Yeah.
Those are just whatever you can put out there, right? I know how people do it. It's a big Power Trail. Yeah. They're not individually good. They're just a hit and move on, right?
Right.
We're talking about more like individual caches here. I understand that Power Trails, when people put out Power Trails, you got to put cheap containers out, you know, or replacement or whatever. You're putting cheap stuff out because it's probably going to be moved. It's probably going to be swapped and all this other stuff.
Right.
You know, those are probably going to be stuck in a fence, you know, a fence post or whatever. But as an individual cache, if you're looking at it as an individual cache,
Tom hates them too.
Those things, they're always, the top always comes off of them.
Top's gone. Or it's, yeah, if it isn't, that little tiny piece of plastic is broken.
Yeah. Your tweezers just pulling out a big mess of mesh, you know, mush. I mean, now, where those are cool is when you use them as part of another container.
Yeah.
Right? Like you've seen the one with the golf balls and stuff like that, or some kind of that's where the little log goes inside your bigger creative container.
Yeah.
Awesome for that. It's just a little thing. You know, that's not the only part of the container.
Yeah. I've seen where it was at a winery out front, and it was filled. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it was filled with cork, and it was a patient's cache. And inside there was all these cork for the, you know, for wine bottles.
Yeah.
And each one of them had been drilled with and had a little one of these blood vials. And so you had to go through
a bunch of bigger container.
Yeah. Inside a big Tupperware.
Because that's not actually what's sealing the elements out. It's the bigger container.
Yeah.
In that case, those are awesome because you can put them in the little corks. You know, I like those patience caches. I know people don't. I think they're hilarious. I've done several of them. I think they're hilarious.
They're fine.
I went to one that was like just like that, but it was 35 millimeter containers, photo containers, film containers.
Right.
There was probably 50 of them in there, and it was in a big one of those big water jugs, so you had to like shake it out, you know.
Sure.
And one would come out at a time. Every other one had a dad joke in it, and then just one of them had a log in it. I sat there on that hillside reading those for like an hour. I had
actually found the container. Even after you found the log, you're still reading them.
Oh, yeah. I went through all of them. It was great. It was jokes awesome. In there. It's great.
That's awesome.
Now, if you're trying to, like, power through something, that's not the cache you want. I wasn't. I was in Colorado. I was sitting on the side of a mountain, and I found this thing. This is great. It made my day. I had a lot of fun with those. But that, in that case, that would be the redeeming quality of that one. It's inside, you know, it's part of a more creative.
Right.
But that as a cache by itself, that's terrible.
Some of the comments on this one, Tom says they look cool inside the trash can. Thank you. TKD Scouter says, I've used them as part of a multi-cache with coordinates.
See, that's great. I like that. That's great. Yeah. You can seal it up. You can see the coordinates in it. That's a perfect idea. But that thing is not going to stay. That's not going to keep a log dry.
No.
Now, and here's the thing, too. Because I don't want to come off as like we're ragging on people for doing this. We have all, me absolutely 100% included, have tried containers that I found at a store and I just like, oh, this would be cool. And it turned out to be a flop.
Yeah.
You know, it just did not work out. So that's on all of us. All of us have done this, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes they work. Sometimes they work great. But if they don't, you got to kind of abandon it, you know, and do something else or whatever. But it's one of those things. It's kind of, a lot of it's trial and error.
Yep. I was trying to find, let me see if I can find.
Nick Caps, the best bad container I found was an Altoids 10 skirt lifter. The logbook was the receipt from the Walmart where the Altoids were purchased. I've always wondered what the CO did with the Altoids.
That is funny.
I bought it and put it right in there. That's as funny as that is. That's not going to last in the long term, right?
No.
And we're not going to. The plan tonight wasn't to get into good containers, but I will mention a couple that are just on my desk, which was Bison Tube. I've never had much trouble with a Bison Tube. Have you?
Except, well, yes and no.
The O-ring?
So those containers are great, except you still have to maintain them. They don't last forever. That little O-ring inside there
seals
it up, will crack eventually. And if you don't replace it, it's just like any other container, right? It loses its seal.
Yeah.
So those are great containers. They're not made for geocaching originally. They weren't originally. Now a lot of them are made, you know.
There's a bunch, yeah.
We've talked about before what bison means and everything else. But
yep.
Those containers are great. Now the best thing to do is strap a little, get a little McDonald's straw and cut it and put it around those things. But we're not going to talk about that, right? We're going to get off that. I love it when I get to one of those and it has the McDonald's straw around the thing because you can just pull it all out as one piece. You've seen that.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. Yeah, yeah.
The little straw is around the paper so it's, you know, it's not all mushed in there.
Yeah. So for those that are new, welcome to geocaching. This is how you put the log back in the bison.
Don't act like you knew that the first time either.
I did not.
No, you did not. Yeah.
I did not. I'm with you. But once I learned that you put the logbook in the lid and then you put the back on.
Yeah. So
and make sure it's tight.
Those bison tubes are a standard in geocaching. They work really well most of the time. Just like TKD Scouter just mentioned, some places they don't, right? If you have a heavy rainfall and it hits it a lot, or as we've seen, they can absolutely lose their color and fade out if they're in direct sunlight. We've seen that happen
before. Which is insane to think about. That.
Yeah.
The one we hid for Geostash years ago in Arizona, Charles had hit it in. No, Charles found it. We had one of our team hide it in Arizona, and it was in a tree sitting for months. And by golly, the sun had completely bleached off one side of it.
Absolutely.
That's how brutal the outdoors is.
Oh. And nothing holds up to the weather forever.
No.
No.
No, not. Which, speaking of, I know these are would also be controversial. I have a 3D printed. What do you think about the 3D printed?
If it has a seal on it. 3D printing.
Well, it does have an O-ring.
Yeah. If it has an O-ring and it stays waterproof, I would literally find that. Oh, that's kind of on top of a kind of a medicine bottle or something.
No, it's just 3D printed.
Okay.
Just the 3D print. But so
first of all, kudos to whoever did that because that is cool.
Yeah.
And way more creative. If you're taking a kid out caching, what is he going to rather find? That or a pill bottle?
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's awesome. As long as it's waterproof, that's awesome.
I think it's mostly waterproof.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, nothing's 100% waterproof, you know.
No.
They claim it is.
So let me see. I'm trying to find some other. I got some.
But, so 3D printed containers are just like anything else. If it holds up in the weather, it's already got plus points on it, right? Because it's creative.
Yep.
And you want to see creative containers. I oddly, it worked. I found a cache this last week or whatever. It was inside of a, it was in the side of a brick wall, an old like stone wall.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like it would work, but it worked really well. Somebody had a sponge,
right,
that was painted to look like one of the stones in the wall, right? In this old historic wall, but yeah, there was a stone missing. And they had a bison tube behind it with a string to make sure it didn't disappear. But that stone, that the sponge fit right in there and looked like a stone. So that wasn't the container. It was the bison tube. But it was back up out of the element. So it should last a long, long time because it's not hanging out in the sun. It's not going to get wet. It's got a, you know, like a painted sponge in front of it that looked like a rock. It fit perfectly in the wall. Now, you still probably have to change that container out every once in a while because they're not going to last forever. But it's up out of the elements. The log was completely dry inside it. It was well done.
I'm just looking around the in with my caching bag. But these,
I think,
are really good. I want to get your opinion on it. The preform.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
The preform bottle, because for those that don't know what these are, they're really solid plastic because they're designed to be put into a machine to make into a 3-liter bottle. So they're, as you can imagine, very dense plastic.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah,
they're not indestructible, but they are great.
Yeah,
they're solid.
Yeah.
As long as the top holds on there.
Yep.
And I do believe that somebody makes a top aftermarket that locks.
Correct.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. It's metal, I think. And even in, is it metal? Or
I think so. I think it is.
But that
it's some kind of hard. That's a good container. Now, having said that, that doesn't have to be the whole container.
No.
That can be part of a creative cache as well. But that's what's keeping the log dry.
None of them are going to be perfect. I mean, I guess the most perfect would be an ammo can, because ammo cans would last. I mean, they'll get stuck a little bit.
Quite well. I mean, they're made by the military. You know, they're made for a more important purpose than what we're using them for.
Yeah, but they're
they can still dry rot.
You
know, the seals can still dry rot. They can still rust. Or if you live in Colorado or wildfire area, they can be burnt up.
Right.
They're not indestructible, but they are about as high quality, solid as of any commercially made container that you can get out there. Now, they're not made for geocaching. They're made for other purposes, obviously.
Yeah. The metal ones will last forever. The plastic ones are good.
But they're just a plastic container. They're just a Tupperware at that point. They're not an ammo can.
They're a little higher. They're
not an ammo can.
No. But the plastic ones, I think, will last. They'll last longer than a Tupperware container.
Definitely. I definitely agree that they will.
Yeah. But not as good as a metal one.
No. However, caveat real quick, if you're going to put an ammo can out there, paint over the writing that comes on it, right? This has the paint that over, make it pretty, or camouflage it, put leaves on it or something. But don't just put a military grade ammo box out in the woods.
Exactly.
There's some problems that can happen, you know, or under a park bench or something like that. Right. Paint that Joker up. We're talking about the metal ones. The plastic ones are good, but they're just like any other plastic container. Once the elements get them, they'll leak water. Yeah, just like TKD Scouter just said, they'll leak water. They can break. They're not 100%.
They're not going to last forever, for sure. You're exactly right.
Yeah, and
I got a couple here that I want to get your opinion on, because I think that they're the kind of container that you probably don't want to put out. But if you do, I give kudos because they're creative. And so if I find one of these, I'll show you a couple of them. If I find one of these in the wild, I kind of overlook the fact that it's probably full of water, maybe, but I'm like, I'll live with it. How about the
Having said all this with the plastic, before we get into those, there's several comments on plastic ones. Plastic ones are not as good as the metal ones. They can work very good in certain environments, and they can work terribly in other environments.
They can.
So all of these are with saying that you got to match the environment to the container, right? You know, is that plastic ammo box better than most of the Tupperware you see out there? I'd say yeah. It seals up a lot tighter. It's pretty good. It's actually made to hold ammo, which is not the military version. You know, it's not the metal version. It's they're good.
More for commercial use.
Although
Tom's saying, you know, hey, go look in grandma's cabinets. She has mismatched Tupperware and it lasts forever. So
that's right.
But it's not out in the wild. It's in her
cabinet. That's right.
So let's remember that. Okay. So a couple of them that I think are kind of cool. Have you found the fake log? This is a bad version.
Yes.
Because it's mismatched, but
I have built those myself even.
It's got the top to it that's screwed. You know, there's the,
I have actually bought one of those commercially too. I built it myself, but I've actually bought one of those commercially.
Yep. And then,
now, having said that, that is not a container. That's camouflage.
True. The
container is what goes inside that little
hole. Which is a bison tube that I have inside.
There's a big difference in camouflage and a container.
No, you're right.
You couldn't just stick a, you know, a piece of paper in that thing and call it a cache. That'd be terrible.
No. If you found one, like, let me find the right container to show you.
I like this. Mike said, a patient's cache that has all the worst containers in an ammo can. That would actually be pretty fun. That's a pretty good idea for a cache. That'd make people laugh.
What if you found one like this with the frog and the, I mean, you have to paint it, but.
Yeah. You know what? Here's what I would say. Again, the frog's camouflage, the container's the plastic thing, right?
Yeah.
I give that. That's a step up from just throwing down a pill bottle. So for me, those make me giggle. I think they're fun. A lot of times you'll see like the little animal and there'll be like a bison tube shoved up its butt or whatever.
Right.
They cut a hole. I like those. That just shows a little more thought. And that's a lot more likely to get a favor point for me than an LPC, right?
Yeah.
If as long as they're putting some effort into it, it shows that they're going above the bare minimum that you have to do.
Absolutely.
A druggy frog, Tom said.
A druggy frog. He's not druggy.
He had a pill bottle in his mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess you're right.
But you know what? Here's the thing. That's camouflage you're adding to a container. It doesn't make the container any better, but it makes the cache more fun.
Especially, yeah.
Think about it. This is a game for kids a lot of times, right?
Mm-hmm.
A kid would much rather find that little animal.
Hopefully.
And there's no reason not to do that on an LPC. It'll fit perfectly under there.
Absolutely. And
it's just funny.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told you about I found a container, or I found a plastic hot dog. It was a rubber, like a dog toy.
Oh, and
Somebody put a container inside the plastic hot dog, and it was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was themed, and it was like, it was simple, but I gave it a favorite point, because it was like.
I do that on a lot of those, because it's fun. You know, what we forget sometimes, this whole game is supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time analyzing it, but at the same time, it's supposed to be a fun game that you go out and you play, maybe with kids, maybe not, but, you know, and it's supposed to make you smile at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And those things do. They make me smile when I see those things like that, because they put in a little bit of effort to it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was trying to think of another one that...
Now, I found... Kind of along the line of food containers, I have found a Sprite bottle before.
Oh my! With a logbook in it,
with a receipt in it.
Receipt, okay.
Yeah, and that was it. There was even a little Sprite still in it. You know, like little drips in the bottom.
Oh gosh.
It was not a container. I guess it was. In fairness, but it still had the Sprite label on it. I mean, it was just a plastic. It's like, come on. And I guess before we, because we're going to have to do the results here in a minute, but
yeah, we're going to,
I want to make sure that we touch on why we're talking about this. It's not just a bag on containers. Most of the people listening to this show, and some people watching or listening to this show, know most of this information. We're kind of all just laughing about these things anyway, but there's a reason we're talking about this. And that's, not only is it crappy to find one of those, for us, right? We've been playing a game. It's not going to stop us from playing the game. We're just going to move on to the next one. You know, might put a little TFTC plus one or stupid container on the log or whatever. But you got to think about it. Most players in the game are new. So let's say you get a new player in.
There are a lot.
We need to keep the game alive.
Yeah, there are a lot.
The first five containers they find are these crappy containers. They're not going to stay in the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I tell the story many times, but the very first one I found, when I found it, it was a pill bottle. It was under a lamppost. And my wife goes, no. And we didn't play it for 2 years. We got lucky that ever got back into the game. It was 2 years later before we even considered again. She was like, I'm not looking for trash in a parking lot. She's like, that doesn't sound like a fun game to me. Yeah. It could have gone a lot worse. Like, I could have never gotten into this game. And, you know, I've been playing for many years now. But
yeah,
the same thing can happen, you know, to the next great WV Tim or Bounce Bounce or, you know, or Derek or, you know, any of these people that are that have contributed a bunch to the game. Yeah. If they'd have started and found three of these in a row, they may not have ever done it again. They'd have moved on to another game. So it's important that we have good containers because a large majority of cachers are brand new.
A lot of them, you're right. A lot of them.
We do. It's important we, you kind of put your best foot forward, right? Because, you know, that's the if we stop, we start losing people and we're not getting in new people, there's nobody to hide these caches that we can find, right? We need more people to keep the game going.
Absolutely. We forget that. And it's not really like tonight was not the night. We'll have to do it again sometime, which is the quality hides. We've done shows about quality hides, you know, something that Mike mentioned. Yeah. Mike says everything I hide has to pass the, is this satisfying to find test first and foremost.
If everybody would do that, we would never even get to have this conversation. Right.
Right.
If people would just stop for a second and go, is this going to provide joy to somebody? Not just, it's another notch in my belt. You know, this is something that I would want to find and I think it's going to be good. And, you know, I had my buddy look at it. He also thought the same thing. You've got a winner then. It may not be the best cash in the world, but it's going to be something that's going to provide joy to people. And I think that's what we got to slow down a little bit and think about, right? It's not just, oh, I hit another cash today. Yay, I'm cool. You know, you got to put out something there that's going to be decent. Not every cash has to be like, you know, the Lego giraffe in Germany that's got 80,000 favorite points on it or whatever.
Right.
But every cache should provide something positive to the game, not just another notch.
Yeah, a couple things on that, and I completely agree, and that is take people to good locations.
Mm-hmm.
Stop hiding them, you know, in the Walmart parking lots, number one. Number two is if you're going to bring them to a location, for example, let's say you're going to hide. Let's say you have permission to hide, like I do. I have a giant park here in Greenville, and I've strategically placed a lot of them. And what I do is I'll wipe that park clean, do an event, and I'll hide like 12 caches. It's a huge park. I can hide 12 caches in it, but I can hide them. Ask the reviewer to not publish them till like 9 a.m. and then we all get together. Have some donuts
once a year, once every 6 months or whatever they'll let you do. And
that's awesome. The key with that though is I'm thinking a little bit more long-term. Now it doesn't mean that I'm not going to come back and check on them because I'm pretty good about, and I hide less because I want to make sure that the ones I do hide, I maintain. But one thing I do is for that location, I'm not going to hide this. I'm going to hide a quality container because I might not be back for a month or two. You know, I want to make sure that it's going to last. So, you know, hide in good locations, use quality containers. That's a good example to Jesse of, they all don't have to be gadget caches out. Now, if you can, great. But if not, you want quality. There are places where.
You wouldn't want it to be that way anyway, because gadget caches are not hard to find.
Right.
A lot of the fun of the game is trying to find something that's hard to find. Right. Yeah. So we need a little bit of everything, but it's every one of them that you put out, you need to be proud of.
Yeah. So either location, cool, container, cool, those kind of things. So absolutely. Good stuff.
Don't forget, we got to give our results.
Yep. From about to do that right now. So thanks everybody for for that. We're going to get into the next round, see who survives, who's still in the brackets, because we're now to another. We're about to start a new round, and what has survived? There's some shockers out here, not Wichita State shockers, but just shocking results. So the first one is this week, the traditional went up against the mystery. That is tough to go against. And the winner is barely. The mystery cash has, which concludes challenges and puzzles. And
but that's, I guarantee you that's what put it over. There's the challenges.
Yeah.
The traditional cash, we all like them. That's how we almost every one of us got into the game that way, you know.
Bread and butter.
Most of that's the bread and butter. That's geocaching. That's 90% of what's out there.
Yep.
But I think Mystery Cash got the bump because of challenges. There's a lot of hardcore challenge cachers out there.
We all love the bread and butter, but we all want dessert at the end. And to me, mysteries are sort of the dessert.
Right. Yeah.
So it won. It won 54 to 45. 54. Very close. Close, though. Very close.
Yeah.
Next one, maybe not as close, which was the event versus Mega. And it was pretty close. Mega was 58.2%. Events were 41.8%. So Megas beat the standard event cash.
Yeah, that's not totally surprising. Megas are pretty fun, and they're a lot more frequent nowadays. So they're accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah. Is that similar maybe to the traditional mystery? Is that megas are sort of the dessert on top of the meal and the event is the bread and butter?
Maybe. Kinda? I don't know. That's a hard one. It's hard to know.
The steak versus the cake. I don't know. All right. Next one is the was the GPS maze was going up against community celebration. This was kind of interesting. Community celebration won pretty much 60 to 40. I'm going to get your opinion first. Well, why do you think that community celebration did so well?
More opportunity. There's a lot more community celebration events than there are mazes.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And the maze is kind of one of those things, once you've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
It does get recycled. It does get changed or whatever, but you just don't have as many opportunities, and community celebrations can be so many more things.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. And a lot of people still haven't found Adventure Maze. I mean, they're not everywhere. Only a few people own, only a couple people in the North America area. Now there's Adventure Labs overseas.
Yeah.
That are available as well. And they're going to be different. They're going to be similar, but they are going to be, they're going to have their own uniqueness to them. Versus the North America ones. But and then the last one, and this is a final. This was a final in this category because this is the legacy. So the legacy bracket is complete. The legacy bracket is over, and the winner was virtuals.
That's not very surprising.
No.
Webcams.
They're fun to a point.
I don't know. I'm not a huge webcam fan, right? Because they're just a dying breed.
Yeah.
Other than rarity, there's not a lot that draws you to them. Now, we've mentioned many times that I wish they would still bring some out every once in a while, you know, whether it's with GeoTours or HQ or Mingo, some special places like that that you can still go do them. So it's still a living thing.
But yeah.
It's hard to be excited about a dead icon type, right? Like, they brought other things back out. This one's dying. I think maybe they have a plan in the future for it or whatever, but they've brought those back out in waves, and there's a lot of good new ones, right?
Yeah, there are.
Old ones are awesome because they're old, and there were some cool ones, but they brought some new ones out, and people are doing some good things with them. So
they are.
I could probably name easily, quickly, 10 awesome virtuals that I've been to.
Right.
I promise you, I cannot name 10 awesome webcam caches I've been to.
No, I cannot.
Not even a chance. So if I'm voting based on my experience, 100% it's going to go to virtual. Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised that the webcams did as well as they did because, I mean, 37% voted for a webcam over a virtual.
But you know what? I mean, I see how it gets some points from some people because there are some people that hunt those things down.
They do.
Because it's rare, yeah. Right? It's the scarcity of the cache type. It's not the experience itself, I would say.
They're fun to get. There's so few, like you said, and they're fun to get because, hey, it's another, you know, it might be, you know, I've found, I don't know how many webcams you found. I probably have found like 3. I mean, how many do you think you have? 8, 10?
No. I think I got to check. Let me check real quick. It's more than 8 or 10.
While you're checking, I'm going to put up, everybody get your phones out. Because I've got the next round, I've got the QR code for the next round, so you can vote. And somebody remind Direwolf, you vote once, so let's not go crazy here. But here's the QR code.
Early and vote often, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Let's vote once.
And that QR code, how else can they find that if they're an audio listener?
Absolutely. Audio listeners, the QR code will be put onto the Geocache Talk community page on Facebook. It also will be in the show notes. So the show notes are always updated and put on the geocachetalk.com website. What Tom said?
Tom brought up a good point. Webcams are fun to get with friends, especially when you do silly stuff with them. Absolutely agree with that. I've done that a few times myself, and it's good. I've got 40 webcams, but
you got a bunch.
It's because of a challenge. There was a challenge to get a bunch of them, and so I went out and found a bunch of them. But
oh my gosh, you could barely find 40 even today. You must have really hunted that early when you first started.
I pick them up when I'm near them.
I do for the most part. I've missed some. And then regretted the fact that I missed them, but I didn't regret too much because, you know, they are what they are. So,
It's just for me, it's one of those things. Our style of caching is cache away more than cache at home. So that's how I end up with a lot of, that fits that kind of style of stuff.
I have three. Yeah. Not a lot.
You're almost there.
I think my second, and we won't get into tonight, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think everybody, wouldn't you think most cashers today, their second most find is labs? Unless you hate them.
It's not for me, but I think it would be, labs or mysteries, one.
Well, right, they're close, right?
Yeah. For me, we've talked about this before, but it's traditional... then mystery, then lab.
Yeah, for me currently, it's traditional lab, then letterbox hybrid. But you remember the reason letterbox hybrid is because we did a whole trail of them, so that's why they're way up there.
I'm still about double the mysteries that I've got labs right now still.
Yeah, but I bet your letterbox hybrid is higher than you would normally have it.
I've only got about 375 of those.
Okay.
But you know, hey, that's, we're going to get way off topic. We do that tonight, but I think that's fun to find. We need to do a poll after this is over. We'll do a poll of where everybody shakes out.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, definitely vote, in that because we're down to the last couple. So I guess, I think if I understand, you have to go look at the poll, but I think we've got Mystery is going to go up against Mega, I think. And then in the other one, you've got, or how's that going to work? I don't know. You have to go look because I think we're missing one.
John's got to make it somehow.
Yeah. I don't know if the Legacy then goes up against that, but anyway. So another round of those. So again, thanks everybody for tonight. We got some great shows coming up. I just want to make a quick note as we start to head out the door for episodes.
Went in there. That's got to be in there. So we must be missing a slide.
Did we miss a slide?
Yeah, because I know Adventure Lab's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think we are missing a slide.
I mean, it's all invalid anyway, because where I go didn't make it, so.
Yeah. Right. So, quick note on shows coming up. Just to let you know, we are going to be talking. Of course, Puzzle Talk is on this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, we're going to be talking about Geo Woodstock. We're going to be meeting with Josh, aka Fu Manju, and his team to talk about Geo Woodstock and what to look forward to on that. 4/14, unless something changes. We have a major announcement, like geocaching, earth-shattering announcement on April 14th.
Don't forget, we got a challenge talk coming up, too.
What's that?
Challenge talk's on the 9th,
yep.
Right?
Challenge talk is 4/9, yep. I don't and have their the TBD.
Yeah,
and then 4/14, the giant geocaching announcement. And then the next week, 4/21, we're going to be talking to Nick about Cachely 8.0, which is about to come out. That's a major renovation or major upgrade of Cachely. So that's going to be coming up. And then on 5/5, I know that's a long ways out, but we are going to be talking to Gary Lewis, the original hider, the first person to hide an earth cache. Talk about the 20th anniversary and the hiding guideline changes, and that's on May 5th. So we got some great shows coming up, so you don't want to miss those. And get out, vote, and we will see you on Tuesday for Puzzle Talk. There we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Your finds be many, and your DNFs be few. May the terrain and difficulty both be less than two. And whatever it is you're looking for, may it find its way to you. And may we all meet again.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Please email us your comments at geocachetalk@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, or Spotify, as well as at the Geocache Talk website. Don't forget to click that subscribe button below and ring that bell notification so that you can see and hear the show on a weekly basis. And tell your friends about the show. Get them involved with us in the chat room. And until next week, don't just talk about geocaching. Go geocaching.